Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, February 16th, 2021. Coming up this hour,
the energy crisis cripples Texas, leaving more than 5 million in the dark.
The deep freeze closes wells across the South, sending oil to a 13-month high.
The bitter cold shows no signs of slowing. Bloomberg Radio team coverage straight ahead.
New York Governor Cuomo says the state should have moved faster about info on nursing home COVID deaths. Plus, House Speaker Pelosi wants an investigation into the Capitol breach. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Wins for the Knicks, Nets, and Islanders, and they're playing the quarterfinals at the Australian Open.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Hey, good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. futures are higher to start the week. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 19 points this morning. Dow futures up 192, NASDAQ futures up 62. The DAX in Germany down about a tenth of a percent now. The CAC in Paris says it'll change. So is the FTSE 100. Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 1.3%. And the Hang Seng in Hong Kong jumped 1.9%. 10-year Treasury down 10/32nds, yield 1.24%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.11%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.5% or 29 cents at $59.77 a barrel. COMEX gold little changed at $18.23.40 an ounce. The euro 1.2165 against the dollar. The yen 105.24. Nathan.
Karen, we begin with a deep freeze across much of the U.S. The energy crisis that crippled the power system in Texas has left at least 5 million people in the dark. Houston is one of the hardest hit areas. Sylvester Turner is the city's mayor.
We're still out of power to about 1.2 million customers. That's still the case. Hopefully that number will not grow.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott says it's power companies that are causing the problem. He also compares the crisis to one of the area's most powerful hurricanes.
This is the winter version of Hurricane Harvey, and we will learn from this also, and we will come up with strategies to make sure there are available sources of power and energy so that things like this do not happen again.
Now, President Biden has declared an emergency, unlocking federal assistance to Texas.
Grid managers can't say exactly when the blackouts will end. Bloomberg's Rachel Adams Heard begins our team coverage with the very latest from Houston.
We knew that this was going to be a major test of our grid, and we're used to a ton of electricity demand in the summer. Obviously, it gets very hot here, but we're not quite used to having this happen in the winter, especially when the entire state of Texas is in a winter storm warning. And then compounding that is a crunch on the supply side. The infrastructure that we have is just not equipped to deal with these temperatures. So you're seeing oil and gas production, about a million barrels a day taken off the market. Wind turbines are frozen. This is just not a good situation here in Texas.
All right. Thank you, Rachel. And as the temperatures fall, we see oil rise. In fact, Brent crude is trading near a 13-month high. We continue our team coverage with more from Bloomberg Executive Editor for Commodities, Will Kennedy.
The big worry is that it's very hard to operate wells at temperatures well below zero, and they end up freezing up and not producing any oil. And also it's very hard to move trucks around the region at these temperatures, so it's hard to supply the wells and in some cases get the oil out of the wells. Some estimates say that in the short term it could perhaps hit several hundred thousand barrels of production, which is fairly significant.
And checking prices now, West Texas Intermediate crude's up 0.5% or 34 cents to $59.81 a barrel. Brent crude is down 0.2% at $63.16.
Temperatures have been dramatic in places that really aren't used to a deep freeze. For the latest, we turn to Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carolyn. Rob.
Karen, the piece of the polar vortex that was producing sub-zero temperatures from Montana to the Dakotas and Minnesota last week spent the weekend sinking southward through the central United States. It's brought bitter cold now to the entire central United States. Temperatures are below zero this morning around Amarillo, Texas, to near zero in the Dallas area, to around 20 in Houston and 25 in the Brownsville area. This cold air mass will continue to slowly modify, but it's going to keep the central United States very chilly this week. In addition, we have a storm track that's causing snow, sleet, and freezing rain from upstate New York through New England this morning. Another storm is going to develop, producing snow, sleet, and freezing rain northward into the northeastern United States. That storm will be impacting areas from Tuesday night through Thursday. I'm Rob Carolyn, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Rob, thanks. The crisis isn't just crippling Texas and the Great Plains. Now the extreme cold is threatening problems in the West. Ed Baxter has more from our Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
Major concern for Texas, of course, but also that it could threaten blackouts elsewhere. For example, California's Southern California Gas Utility says it disrupts supplies of the heating and power plant fuel supply. Southern California Gas is urging its customers to keep abreast of upcoming potential strains on systems and potential effects on gas service to the operations. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thank you. While much of the country works to recover from the deep freeze, we're seeing encouraging data on the battle against the pandemic. The U.S. just recorded the lowest daily number of cases since October 25th, with a little more than 65,000 infections reported Sunday. More than 54 million vaccine doses have been administered across the country, and plans are being laid for pharmacies to start giving shots. Dr. John Brownstein is an epidemiologist and researcher at Boston Children's Hospital.
We know pharmacies are a big point of healthcare delivery in this country. So the ability to have access to pharmacies, pharmacies already do the delivery of flu shots and a range of other vaccines, so they know how to do this.
So far, more than 176 million shots have been given worldwide. Get the latest on the effort from our Bloomberg Vaccine Tracker online at Bloomberg.com.
Turning to financial markets now, futures are on the rise as we begin a holiday-shortened trading week. Global stocks are in the midst of their longest run of gains since 2003. The MSCI World Index has risen for 12 straight sessions, and another record for Bitcoin. The world's largest cryptocurrency is closing in on the $50,000 level. Bitcoin's risen fivefold over the past year. And checking Bitcoin now, it's at $48,860.
In Europe, shares of Glencore are up almost 3%. The world's largest commodities trader is reinstating its dividend after posting record trading profits.
And earnings will resume here in the U.S., with about 60 companies in the S&P 500 reporting this week. Heading the list, Walmart, Applied Materials, AIG, and Deere. S&P futures up 16 points, Dow futures up 170, NASDAQ futures up 55. This is Bloomberg. And it's now 6:07 on Wall Street. Time to check in with Michael Barr for the latest on what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael?
Thank you very much, Nathan. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo has broken his silence on the accusations that his administration hid the number of nursing home deaths in the state that resulted from the coronavirus outbreak last year. Cuomo said the void we created allowed disinformation, and that created more anxieties for the families of loved ones.
When you don't correct disinformation, you allow it to continue.
Cuomo insisted his administration was complying with the Department of Justice's request. There are reports that an image of George Floyd mocking his death last year is being circulated among members of the Los Angeles Police Department as a Valentine. While the LAPD has not confirmed seeing the image in the workplace setting, they have announced a zero-tolerance policy for anyone caught taking part. Floyd's family attorney, spokesman Najee Ali, said the family is absolutely heartbroken. Their pain has been belittled.
We're not here to condemn or attack the LAPD. We simply want to hold them accountable. And to their credit, Captain Jay Mystic is someone who we salute for being a whistleblower.
An LAPD employee reported an image with Floyd's face and the caption, "You take my breath away." Floyd died last May while a Minneapolis police officer restrained him as he pleaded he could not breathe. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's call for an independent commission to investigate last month's Capitol insurrection has some bipartisan support. Pelosi said the commission would be modeled on the panel that probed the origins of the September 11th terrorist attack. Pennsylvania's Republican Party may meet to discuss censuring U.S. Senator Pat Toomey over his vote to convict Donald Trump during the former president's second impeachment trial. Toomey is one of seven Republicans who voted to convict Trump of incitement of insurrection. Meanwhile, Democratic House impeachment manager Eric Swalwell told ABC he believes the trial had to go forward to hold Trump accountable for the attack on the Capitol, even if there were not enough Republican votes to find him guilty.
We could have had a signed confession from the president. It wasn't going to change their minds. And so we feel very good about the case that we made.
Well, the Republicans who voted to convict Trump are facing backlash from their state party leaders as well. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
.609 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, John Stashar.
All right, thanks, Nathan. The Knicks clearly much improved. There's a feeling that all that's keeping them from taking the next step forward is a star player. But do they already have that star? Julius Randle has been superb all year. Last night, he put on a show at the Garden. 44 points, most by a Knick in 3 years. Randle shot 14 of 22. He made 7 of 13 threes, 9 rebounds, 5 assists. Knicks beat Atlanta 123-112. For their third win in a row. The Nets won their third straight. They had a 40-point game themselves from Kyrie Irving. He made 7 of 9 three-pointers. Brooklyn won at Sacramento 136-125. James Harden scored 29 at 14 assists. The Nets won without the injured Kevin Durant. Utah beat Philadelphia, and the Jazz have now won 19 of their last 20. Islanders beat Buffalo 3-1. The Devils, who once had as many as 19 players on their COVID list, are back on the ice tonight at the Garden against the Rangers. It'll be the Devils' first game since January. The Yankees have signed veteran lefty reliever Justin Wilson, who they had once before. He was with the Mets the last two seasons. An old-timer and a newcomer with quarterfinal wins at the Australian Open. 39-year-old Serena Williams into the semis. 6-3, 6-3 over the two-seed Simona Halep. And Serena will now play Naomi Osaka. On the men's side, 27-year-old Russian Aslan Karatsov, who had never played in a major before, upset Grigor Dimitrov. Karatsov, a qualifier, ranked 114th in the world. Could be another upset brewing. Novak Djokovic playing now. He just lost the first set with Alex Zverev. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
And John, parties may be part of next month's NBA All-Star Weekend. They just won't include NBA All-Stars thanks to the pandemic. Players are going to have to largely remain in their hotels when they're not at the arena. All players and coaches, whether part of All-Star events or not, will have to continue getting tested every day for COVID-19 during NBA All-Star Weekend. Futures moving higher. This is Bloomberg. And it's coming up to 6:12 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit a Tri-State Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And global stocks are in the midst of the longest run of gains in 17 years as optimism over the economic recovery sweeps across markets. European shares, though, have turned lower. U.S. stock index futures are higher. S&P futures up 16 points. Dow futures up 165. NASDAQ futures up 53. The DAX in Germany is down about 0.25% now. 10-year Treasury down 11 32nds, yield 1.24%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.11%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.5% or 29 cents at $59.76 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.1% at $1.60 at $18.21.60 an ounce. The euro 1.2165 against the dollar. British pound 1.3936 and the yen 105.25. And a quick check of Bitcoin at $48,907. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world.
Officials say a frigid blast of winter weather across the U.S. is likely to blame for the deaths of two people in Texas. More than 4 million people across Texas are without power after a massive storm system dropped temperatures into single digits as far south as San Antonio. Law enforcement reported two men were found dead along Houston-area roadways. Another Republican senator is being punished by his party for siding with Democrats during the Trump impeachment trial. The North Carolina Republican Party has voted unanimously to censure Richard Burr. He was one of seven Republican senators to say Trump was guilty of inciting the Capitol riot. In the NBA, the Knicks, Nets, Wizards, and Warriors all won. In the NHL, the Islanders won. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thank you. It's 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and as we continue to take a look at how this deep freeze across much of the country is taking a toll on the nation's energy grid, we're very pleased to be speaking now with Bloomberg News energy reporter Rachel Morrison. And Rachel, just checking current temperatures in Texas right now, 14 degrees in Houston, 4 degrees in Dallas. This is not what the Texas energy grid was set up for.
Hi, Nathan. Yes, that's right. This is not what the winter is supposed to be like in Texas. The grid is more used to high record demand coming in summer, and this unseasonably cold weather has just taken everyone by surprise, and it's really caused havoc for the electricity system, as well as, you know, it turning into a possible humanitarian crisis with the news bulletin mentioned some deaths being reported now, likely from cold.
Yeah, and we're seeing that affecting the oil refining in the Permian Basin, as well as wind turbines freezing. Even nuclear power plants are shutting down in the midst of all this. Are we getting a sense that it's just the cold that's responsible for this sort of widespread blackout that we're seeing in Texas and now spreading into other parts of the country as well?
That's right. There's a huge amount of generation that is offline. Some of that is seasonal. In the winter, often a lot of maintenance is carried out, but some of that just hasn't been able to switch on. The grid operator at the moment doesn't want to say any more about the reason, whether it is caused just by the cold or whether there's been some automatic shutdowns. And as you mentioned, with wind turbines, it's so cold that ice makes the blades but not aerodynamic, and they can't spin, and then they stop. So that's adding to the problem. There's just not enough supply coming in to meet this really high demand for people wanting to heat their homes. And as you mentioned, it's hitting oil production. We are reporting between 1.5 million and 1.7 million barrels a day of oil production's dropped, which is impacting crude prices and also natural gas prices as refining and gas production stops as well.
Yeah, looking at an almost 6% jump in natural gas futures at the moment, and we've been reporting all morning long, of course, on the price of West Texas Intermediate crude. What are we getting from oil analysts, energy analysts, about where this rally in energy commodity prices could go from here?
I think it's all in the weather forecast. So it's supposed to stay cold for the rest of today, and then it will ease a bit. I mean, temperatures will still be very cold, but that kind of extreme cold is supposed to ease off, and we should see things begin to return to normal. So that sort of feeling of things getting out of control should start to ease off. But at the moment, they're preparing for another day of rolling blackouts, if not widespread blackouts.
When we're reporting that 1.5 to 1.7 million barrels of oil per day are just off the market at the moment, what's it going to take to get back up to normal levels of production of crude?
I suppose that will take time. I mean, that's what the market will be looking for, any signs of how quickly they can get back to normal, whether that will come with a thaw or whether they'll find ways to heat equipment that they can get back to normal. But it is impacting prices, as you mentioned, but it's not likely to have a long-lasting effect, I wouldn't think.
And in our last minute here, Rachel, the Texas oil grid is decentralized to a great extent compared to other parts of the grid in this country. How is that affecting how this is playing out?
It means that Texas isn't able to get supplies of electricity from other states. So if it was more linked, it would be able to get neighboring states to help by sending extra supplies along huge cables called interconnectors. And it means that when there's a problem, it's almost like an island where, you know, there's no other way of getting any electricity to where it needs to be. So it really is highlighting some of the problems with having a decentralized grid, and perhaps will show that reinforcement is needed in the way that we've seen in California from the wildfires and blackouts there that the grid operators realize the need to reinforce and maybe bury parts of the grid so it's protected.
A lot of long-term questions to be resolved here as we continue to watch the forecast and how this deep freeze is playing out in energy markets. Bloomberg News energy reporter Rachel Morrison, thank you for being with us this morning on Daybreak. Looking at futures, they are moving higher this morning. S&P futures up 18 points. Dow futures up 179. NASDAQ futures up 61 points. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather. Rain right now, but it'll end by early afternoon. Upper 40s for highs. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, colder, low 30s. 2 to 4 inches of snow possible Thursday before changing into a wintry mess. Low 30s Thursday.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 11:30 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 99.1 to Boston. Bloomberg 106.1 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. We begin with the latest on the deep freeze across much of the country. The energy crisis that crippled the power system in Texas has left at least 5 million people in the dark. And Sylvester Turner is the mayor of Houston.
Just in Houston, in the Houston region alone, 1.2 million customers without power for an extended period of time.
The crisis has sent oil to a 13-month high. Bloomberg Energy reporter Dan Murtaugh is following this developing story.
The weather's having a double-barreled impact because it's cutting off supply at the same time it's raising demand. These sub-zero temperatures are hitting places in West Texas that are very, very not used to this, and that's freezing up pipeline valves, making them inoperable, forcing people to shut off pipeline, and cutting off almost 10% of the U.S. natural gas supply.
Checking oil right now, West Texas Intermediate crude's up 0.7% or 43 cents to $59.90 a barrel. Brent is little changed, down 3 cents at $63.26.
We do have encouraging news on the battle against the pandemic this morning. The U.S. has recorded the lowest daily number of cases since October 25th. At the same time, new strains of the virus continue to spread, and Dr. Ashish Jha is dean of Brown University School of Public Health.
We don't know a lot about them yet. It's not a surprise to see new variants coming out of the United States, given how much infection we've had. I expect that these variants will be susceptible to vaccines, but we've got to test that out and make sure that that's correct.
So far, the U.S. has administered more than 45 million vaccine doses. Get the latest on the effort from our Bloomberg Vaccine Tracker online at Bloomberg.com.
Turning to financial markets, futures are rising as we begin a holiday-shortened trading week. In fact, global stocks are in the midst of their longest run of gains since 2003. The MSCI World Index has risen for 12 straight sessions. In Japan, the Nikkei 225 stock average extended its advance past the 30,000 level.
And another record for Bitcoin, the world's largest cryptocurrency, is rising, closing in on the $50,000 level. Bitcoin has risen fivefold over the past year. Still, there are warnings that investors could be left with big losses because cryptocurrencies remain highly speculative. Checking Bitcoin right now, it's at $48,904. We're also watching earnings cross the Bloomberg. CVS reporting a fourth quarter profit that beat analyst estimates. S&P futures up 20 points, Dow futures up 191, NASDAQ futures up 70, and the 10-year Treasury down 12/32nds, yield 1.24%. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
6:33 on Wall Street. This news update is brought to you by your tri-state area Land Rover retailers. Introducing the 2020 Land Rover Defender, Motor Trend's 2021 SUV of the year. Put the Defender's capabilities to the test at your local Land Rover retailer, Land Rover. Above and beyond. Good morning, Michael Barr.
Good morning, Nathan. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says the state did not cover up nursing home deaths, but should have moved faster to release some information sought by lawmakers, the public, and the press. Cuomo is under fire over his management of the coronavirus deaths.
The New York State DOH has always fully and publicly reported all COVID deaths in nursing homes and hospitals. They have always been fully reported.
The governor said most of the nursing homes already had COVID-19 cases caused by staff by the time patients return. New York City's subways will begin to reopen for longer hours next Monday. Patrick Foy, chief executive officer of the MTA, also says that they will have additional officers in the wake of a jump in subway violence. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says that Congress will establish an independent September 11th style commission to look into the deadly insurrection that took place at the U.S. Capitol. In a letter to Democratic colleagues, Pelosi said the House will also put forth supplemental spending to boost security at the Capitol. California Congressman Eric Swalwell, one of the House impeachment managers in last week's Senate trial, told ABC he hopes the commission findings will safeguard the government against future threats.
We have to make sure that never again could, you know, domestic terrorism groups attack our institutions of government. And that's going to mean, you know, scrubbing out and stripping down to the studs any white nationalist groups in our country.
The U.S. Capitol Police Union passed a vote of no confidence in its acting chief and senior leadership. 92% of the police union said it no longer has confidence in its managers to make sure a Capitol breach doesn't happen again. Mardi Gras, or Fat Tuesday, has arrived in New Orleans, but officials aren't hoping for big crowds during the coronavirus pandemic. All parades are canceled and bars throughout the city have been closed since Friday. Another possible factor in crowd control, frigid temperatures in the weather forecast. At Cape Canaveral in Florida.
Ignition and liftoff.
SpaceX launched a Falcon 9 rocket late last night. It's carrying the latest batch of Starlink satellites. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. Coming up to 6:36 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here's John Stanshower.
Thanks, Nathan. Julius Randle was always a good NBA player. This year, he's been a great one. All-star caliber, averaging 23 points a game, 11 rebounds, 5.5 assists. He's making 41% of his three-pointers. Last night at the Garden, Randle poured in 44 points. The Knicks beat Atlanta 123-112. Randle had 17 in the first quarter. His coach is Tom Thibodeau.
All-around play that, you know, it's setting the tone for the team. So when you have your veterans doing those types of things, it bodes well for the team. The young guys see it. They come in. They work. Julius is a guy that gets there early. He stays late. Great teammate.
Knicks' three-game win streak comes after losing 7 of 10. The Nets, since a three-game losing streak, have won their last three. Brooklyn 2-0 on the road trip. 136-125 at Sacramento. They were without the injured Kevin Durant. But Kyrie Irving scored 40. James Harden at 29 with 14 assists. Islanders won 3-1 at Buffalo. Justin Wilson, a Yankee once again. Veteran lefty reliever, was with the Yanks back in 2015. Pitched for the Mets the last two seasons. Serena Williams still chasing that 24th Grand Slam to tie the all-time record. She hasn't won one in 4 years. Since then, she's lost to the finals 4 times, but Serena at age 39 is into the Australian Open semifinals. Straight sets tonight over second seed Simona Halep, and she'll now face Naomi Osaka. Men's quarters right now, Novak Djokovic and Alex Zverev have tied one set all. The winner to face 27-year-old Aslan Karatsov, who is a qualifier, ranked 114th in the world, into the semis in his first ever major. John Stanshower, Bloomberg Sports. Thank you.
All right, John, thank you. It is 6:37 on Wall Street. Time to take a look at stocks and some of the names moving in the pre-market this morning with Bloomberg Stocks editor Dave Wilson. Good morning, Dave. Holiday shortened week, but no shortage of earnings to go through.
No, absolutely not, Nathan. I mean, there's a whole bunch of results coming out. You look at this week, I mean, you see Walmart do. You see Applied Materials, the biggest maker of semiconductor production equipment. You see Deere, you know, the farm and construction equipment company. They're all due later this week. Today, the focus is on Palantir Technologies. Is up 3.5% in early trading. The data analysis company will post results for its first full quarter since its shares began trading publicly in September. Analysts looking for a profit of 2 cents a share on revenue of about $301 million. Those are average estimates. Palantir gained 35.5% this year through Friday, so something to live up to with these results. We already have figures out from CVS Health. Shares kind of bouncing around a bit, little changed. You're seeing the drugstore owner, pharmacy benefit manager, and health insurer with fourth quarter earnings and revenue that beat estimates. And CVS said it administered more than 3 million doses of COVID-19 vaccine in U.S. long-term care facilities. I mean, that's certainly a number that gets your attention.
Yeah, we'll see if that moves the stock in the pre-market. What other companies are you looking for to report before the open?
We're in the next half hour or so due to get results from Zoetis. This is the maker of veterinary drugs. Analysts expecting lower fourth quarter earnings and revenue. And if they're down, it would be just the second quarterly declines since Zoetis was spun off from Pfizer in 2013. The first occurred in the second quarter. We're looking for reaction out of Liberty Global. I mean, the London-based cable company reported fourth quarter results yesterday. Earnings fell less than analysts expected as demand for internet service rose during the UK's third coronavirus-related lockdown. And Allegiant, another stock, not much change so far, just out with results today. The maker of locks and other security products posted fourth quarter profit and sales that beat estimates. Advanced Auto Parts, though, down 2%. The retailer's earnings for the fourth quarter came up short of estimates. We're also due to get figures from the car dealer AutoNation, from Ecolab, the provider of cleaning and sanitizing materials, and also from Vulcan Materials, and they're in the construction materials business. You've got Technic FMC down 18%. This is kind of procedural because Oilfield Services Company completed a spinoff of its engineering business at Technip Energies. And then wouldn't be a day without a blank check deal of some sort. Artius Acquisition up 24%. People familiar with the matter said chemical technology company is in talks to merge with the blank check company.
Bloomberg Stocks Editor Dave Wilson, thank you for that. Futures moving higher. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by your tri-state area Land Rover retailers. Introducing the 2020 Land Rover Defender, Motor Trend's 2021 SUV of the year. Put the Defender's capabilities to the test at your local Land Rover retailer. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And futures are rising this morning. We get to the first word, breaking news desk, for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are in the green right now, with Dow futures up 203 points. S&P's gained 22. NASDAQ futures rise by 72. The U.S. 10-year yield hits 1.25%. Gold is up 2. And Shanghai remain closed overnight, while European markets are quiet right now. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, Empire Manufacturing. And regarding earnings this morning, drugstore CVS beat estimates. In other news, Bristol-Myers and Sanofi must pay $834 million over the marketing of Plavix. And in deal news, eBay's $9.2 billion sale of its online classifieds business faces a probe by the UK regulator. Wrapping things up, American Express cut intro at Baird and Eaton. Race to buy over at HSBC. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And here live breaking news over your Bloomberg. Type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you. A chilling Arctic blast is covering much of the U.S., bringing snow as far south as the Gulf Coast and leaving millions without power. Officials say a frigid blast of winter is likely to blame for the deaths of two people in Texas. Officials say a tornado overnight in the southeast North Carolina county of Brunswick has left at least three people dead and 10 others injured. In the NBA, the Knicks, Nets, Wizards, and Warriors all won. In the NHL, the Islanders won. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
Amazon spends billions on R&D. Just don't call it that. I'm Justin Fox, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. Amazon.com spent $42.7 billion last year on what it calls technology and content, which includes research and development. If all of that money went into R&D, it would make Amazon by far the world's biggest corporate R&D spender. My guess is that a bit over 60% does, putting Amazon about even with Alphabet, Google's parent company, in first place worldwide. Alphabet has a separate research division, previously called Google X and now just X, that has drawn comparison to AT&T's legendary Bell Labs. Amazon has no such division and has refused repeated SEC requests to report R&D spending separately. Keeping technology off to the side in some sort of R&D department would be counterproductive, founder Jeff Bezos once said. You want to argue with him? I'm Justin Fox. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion commentaries every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, where it's 6:50 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include House Speaker Nancy Pelosi calling for a 9/11-style commission to investigate last month's Capitol insurrection. Republican David Perdue considering a return to the Senate by challenging Democrat Raphael Warnock in Georgia. And GOP efforts to restrict voting risk backfiring on the party. Also making news this morning, Democrats pivot back to stimulus with impeachment in the rearview. For the latest, we're joined by Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins. And Emily, it seems like there's not a whole lot of time to get stimulus done before the current round of benefits runs out. Is that part of the sense of why it didn't take so long for impeachment to get done?
That's definitely a possibility. Remember, while the senators were in their chamber doing impeachment, over on the House side, they were working as quickly as they could to pass a number of sort of bills that will become the building blocks of the overall stimulus package. The House has another week to work on their stimulus package. Then they will vote on it, so not this week, but the week after. From there, they'll send it to the Senate, where the Senate and House will try and make sure that their work is completed by around mid-March, March 14th. That's when unemployment insurance benefits begin to run out.
Now, we know President Biden has been focused on dealing with the pandemic and getting stimulus pushed through. And we're going to see a lot of that in play this week as he heads out of Washington today.
Yeah, Biden has a busy agenda this week. I think the administration really does want to sort of pivot the attention back to Biden, back to the administration, get it away from discussing Trump. There was, I think, debate sort of even before this impeachment trial began on whether impeachment should happen, whether that would take away too much from the new Biden administration. But I think what Democrats decided to do, and you can see this in the rules that Majority Leader Chuck Schumer negotiated with Republican Leader Mitch McConnell, is that it was a short trial. There was at one point an option for the trial to go much longer, but they instead kept it very, very short. This is the shortest impeachment trial that this country has ever had.
But even with the impeachment trial over, it seems like the issues surrounding the impeachment of former President Trump aren't going to go away if House Speaker Nancy Pelosi gets her wish and has a 9/11-style commission look into what caused the Capitol riot.
Yeah, so this commission is something that Speaker Pelosi has been discussing for a while now, along with other lawmakers. This has definitely sort of been in the mix since almost right after those January 6th riots. We still don't know a lot of details about the commission, who would be on it, would it be bipartisan, what the scope of the commission would be, I think is a particularly big question. Will it just look at the events of January 6th? Will it look what happened before then? We really don't have a lot of those answers at this point, but yesterday Pelosi just sort of reaffirmed again that they were on track to put this commission together and they were working out the details for it.
All right, let's move on to some of the other stories making news in Washington, including former Republican Senator David Perdue taking an initial step perhaps to throw his hat back in the ring in the Senate.
Yes. So remember that because one of the elections we just had in Georgia was a special election, that seat is going to come up again for re-election in 2022. So Democratic Senator Raphael Warnock, he just won that big Senate runoff, and now he's going to have to face voters again. And so that gives an opportunity for Senator David Perdue, who lost his seat to actually John Ossoff in the runoff, to wind up seeing if he can go ahead and run again. We're also looking to see if other individuals from the last Senate runoff might toss their hat in the ring, including Doug Collins, who's a Georgian who then lost to Kelly Loeffler in the primaries.
Only about 30 seconds left here, Emily, but a very interesting story on the Bloomberg Terminal about Republicans at the state level stepping up efforts to tighten voting laws and how that could potentially backfire.
Yeah, Democrats are worried that these new rules being enacted by Republicans in key swing states could dampen Black and Hispanic turnout. These include rolling back access to mail-in voting and imposing voter ID requirements. However, some experts actually say that there isn't a lot of proof that these efforts for voter ID necessarily depress Democratic voters. In fact, it can help them because then Democrats can say, hey, they're trying to take away your right to vote. That can sort of motivate voters to say, well, then I really am going to make sure that I turn out and cast my ballot.
Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins, thank you. And you can read that story and more on the Bloomberg Terminal and at Bloomberg.com. Listen to Bloomberg Radio in Washington at Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. It is 6:55 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report, brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology. NJIT makes research breakthroughs and is ranked one of the nation's most research-intensive universities by Carnegie Classification. More at njit.edu/R1. Now, here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. For a second consecutive day, New Zealand reported no new community cases of the coronavirus. That's raising hopes that a lockdown in Auckland will be lifted tomorrow. New Zealand's first batch of vaccine also arrived this week, a shipment of about 60,000 doses of the vaccine developed by Pfizer and BioNTech. Border workers will initially be prioritized with inoculations due to begin Saturday. Amazon.com will begin making devices like the Fire TV Stick in India for the first time. The online retailer is joining electronics giants such as Apple and Samsung Electronics in making devices like phones and tablets in the South Asian nation. Amazon has deep roots in India, with founder Jeff Bezos pledging to build one of his biggest e-commerce operations outside of the U.S. in the country. And China's movie box office is expected to return to near pre-pandemic highs in 2021. One analyst estimates ticket sales from movie theaters in China may jump to $9 billion this year. By contrast, Wedbush estimates U.S. cinemas may take in about a third of that tally. China overtook the U.S. to become the top movie market last year as the pandemic shut American film theaters for longer than their Chinese peers. And that's a Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. Nathan.
All right, Karen, thank you. It's just before 6:57 on Wall Street. February is Black History Month, and Bloomberg Radio is celebrating pivotal moments in U.S. Black history each day. Here with today's installment is Bloomberg's Renita Young.
On this day in Black history in 1951, the New York City Council passes a bill prohibiting discrimination against African Americans in city-assisted housing. The bill was mainly directed at the Stuyvesant Town Housing Project, at the time a public-private partnership project. Managers of that development prohibited Black tenants who had been active in the campaign to stop racial discrimination. Lawsuits were filed claiming that the project was public or semi-public and thus violated anti-discrimination laws for New York City public housing, which were rarely enforced. 1 month later, the Brown-Isaacs Bill became law in New York City. That's Today in Black History. I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Radio.
All right, Renita, thank you. We continue to watch shares of CVS Health up 0.2% in early trading after it reported earnings. S&P futures also higher, up 21 points. Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrow, and Lisa Abramowitz straight ahead. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.